for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here with Tyler Lochner on Tuesday, August the 2nd. We are now in August, Tyler.
Crazy.
Training camps, full swing. We have football this week. We have legitimate football. It's the Hall of Fame game. It's the Raiders. It's the Jaguars. But it's football. It's a great time.
Dude, it's a great time. You nailed it. We get training camp in full swing. We get the priors confirmed every single day on Twitter. And yeah, football this week. I don't care who's playing. It's football. It's real football.
Yeah, we got actually a report this morning that Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne will not play in this game, and I'm sure there will be many more players. You know,
you might get to see your Marvin Jones play. I think that's maybe all you care about.
I don't think he'll play. 32 years old, 11th year in the NFL, I don't think he'll play. But if he does, yeah, I'll watch all three snaps he plays in, I'll watch it all. But excited about that game. Today we're continuing our team previews with the Carolina Panthers, who have had a pretty interesting offseason. Obviously, we'll talk about the trade for Baker Mayfield, how that affects the team. And you get to gush about Christian McCaffrey some more because for some reason it's a hot take to view him as the number one player in fantasy. It's always interesting seeing your Twitter, some of your tweets talking about McCaffrey, and there's like a lot of replies for some reason.
Dude, I get a lot of hate for it on the Twitter machine, but it's okay. I stand by it.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, let's just start there. Why not?
Yeah, we can start there. I'll give the floor to you. I mean, I don't see how or why it's a hot take to have Christian McCaffrey as the number one player in fantasy, but
I don't
just
yeah.
just tell me the reasons why he should be.
All right, so I will start by saying, yes, you are assuming more risk by drafting Christian McCaffrey versus Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson, okay? I think most people are debating between Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey, and I actually think most people just straight up take Jonathan Taylor. The reason this makes absolutely no sense to me is because, at least on Underdog, and I think at least on underdog, Christian McCaffrey is the second player to come off draft boards. My entire premise is that if Christian McCaffrey, if you're willing to draft him second overall or even third overall, then you should just draft him first overall too.
Right. Because it's not like it's a round difference or something. It's like, oh, I'm not comfortable drafting Christian McCaffrey in the first round because he's been injured, but like you're still drafting him. Like if you don't want to draft McCaffrey first, you're also at the same time, there's no chance you let him slide past like five. So you're still investing a top five selection on him.
Right, exactly. And to me, it just doesn't make any sense to if you have the one spot, if you're willing to draft him at the two spot, because there's not a world in which Christian McCaffrey finishes behind Jonathan Taylor unless he gets hurt. Okay?
I agree.
But there's two things. One, Jonathan Taylor can get hurt too. I mean, I know he has not been hurt yet, but running backs who touch the ball 300, maybe 400 times in a season, they're injury risks. All of them are injury risks. McCaffrey, you do assume more risk with him. That is evident. He has been hurt 5 times over the last 2 years. I don't know what the stat is exactly. I think he's only played in like 10 of the last 33 games.
Yeah, he's played just 10 games the last 2 seasons.
It's not good, right? None of those are good. But I will say, none of his injuries have been repeat injuries. He sprained his right ankle. He sprained a shoulder, he had a thigh strain, he had a hamstring strain, and then he sprained his other ankle. All of those are like injuries that are not that uncommon. Like running backs will hurt their ankles. I think the hamstring one was probably the most concerning because it did take him a long time to come back from. So the kind of like those soft tissue ones can sometimes linger. But when McCaffrey's on the field, he's completely bulletproof. He's been a top 12 fantasy running back in 91% of his games. This is dating back to halfway through the 2018 season when he started to be used more. 91%. He's been a top
five. That's absurd.
He's been a top 5 fantasy running back 75% of the time, and he's been a top 3 fantasy running back 60% of the time. Like, my favorite stat of it is Jonathan Taylor was amazing last year, right? He scored 18 touchdowns. He could have scored 36 touchdowns which would have like completely shattered the record, and he still would not have matched Christian McCaffrey from 2019. I will say this. I do not think that McCaffrey will match his 2019 numbers. I don't think his usage will be that high. He's also, he has been hurt now. And it doesn't help that Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are his quarterbacks. But I do think McCaffrey will come close to 100 receptions. I do think he'll probably still see at least 200 to 225 rushing attempts. So I see McCaffrey as a player that will be close to 2,000 total yards. I do think Jonathan Taylor will score more touchdowns. So I think in standard leagues, non-PPR leagues, there is a stronger case to be made for taking Taylor first, because you're not going to get those 80, 90, 100 points from McCaffrey's receptions. But, oh my gosh, it frustrates me so much when people are like, I'm not taking Christian McCaffrey first because, you know, the injury risk is too high. But then they're like, oh, I'll take him second. Like, you're still investing essentially the exact same amount of draft.
Yeah, that makes that makes absolutely zero sense to me. Like, so, like I said, there's no world in where, okay, you don't feel comfortable taking first overall, but like there's still no world where you see him fifth overall, fourth overall. Say, you know, say there's other people in the draft that feel more comfortable with Jefferson or Kupp or whatever. There's no world where you're at fifth overall and you see McCaffrey and say, you know what, I'm gonna take Austin Eckler or Derek. Like, there's no world. You're not letting McCaffrey fall past four or five. So like, what is the actual difference between saying, I'm not going to use him, use the first overall pick on Christian McCaffrey, but I'll use the fourth, I'll use the third. Like you said, there's no difference. It's still the first selection of your entire draft. And I'll let you finish, but I just thought of something. Like, if you're in that mindset where you're like, okay, I'll draft McCaffrey, but I'm terrified because he's played in 10 games over the last two seasons. Could you like make a case to say like, okay, if you feel that way, continue to draft running backs in the second and third round, because receiver can be a deep position. Not something I would do personally, because I understand that the upside for McCaffrey is the best player in fantasy if he plays 14 games, let alone a full season.
Right. I don't have a problem with people being concerned about drafting McCaffrey. I literally draft him every single time it's available, obviously. And of course I'm worried about it. Like, the dude has been hurt 5 times over the last 2 years. The difference is I am chasing by far and away the best fantasy football player.
You're playing to win. Tomlinson. You're playing to win, not to lose.
At all. Right. Yes. That's kind of my take on it. I'm playing to win. I don't want to get second place, third place.
I mean, he's averaging just over 22 PPR points per game throughout his entire career. Like, it's absurd.
It is absurd.
And keep in mind, that's counting a handful of games where he's left early or he hasn't played the full game.
Yeah, no, that's true. Look, I think if you just want to like remove McCaffrey from your draft boards, fine. If you're just like, you know what, I'm not assuming any risk. First of all, I think that's the wrong way to play fantasy football. I think you have to take risk, especially when the reward is so high. Like, we're not talking about like a boom or bust wide receiver, right? It's not like, oh, it's risky to draft Will Fuller,
mm-hmm.
right? Because like Will Fuller is another guy that has been hurt a lot. And Will Fuller does have pop-off weeks, but Christian McCaffrey doesn't just have pop-off weeks. He pops off every single
week. I mean, have we not learned anything from last season? A player is as injury prone, quote unquote, until they aren't. Like, Deebo Samuel was healthy last season. And if Deebo Samuel was drafted, I understand it wasn't the first overall, you know, it wasn't the first round. It wasn't the second round. Right. It wasn't the third round. But like, Deebo Samuel was probably on a healthy percentage of championship rosters. And like, we've already seen Christian McCaffrey be not just good, not just great, like historic in terms of fantasy production. The only worry, and it's not even a worry because it's just probably what's going to happen, but it doesn't matter because he doesn't need to get to this. But like, the only thing I will say about McCaffrey is I would be shocked. Remember, you know, when he was healthy playing 90%+ of the snaps, like, I don't think that happens this season, but on a per snap basis, he's going to touch the ball at a ridiculous rate. So it really doesn't matter. The last sentence I wrote in my Panthers article was, a healthy Christian McCaffrey is arguably the best path to winning. It's as simple as that. Like,
it is. It is that simple. I wouldn't feel this strongly about it if McCaffrey and Taylor had the same ceiling.
Yeah, like if Taylor was like a 65-70 catch running back,
I would be drafting him first. Right. 100% I would be drafting him.
But his ceiling is like 40. I think he was like 38 last year or something. Yeah. Like his ceiling is probably 40, maybe 45, because Matt Ryan does check it down way more than Carson Wentz. But like McCaffrey's is not just leading all running backs in receptions, but being like top 10 in the entire NFL in receptions. Like that's a great point. Like if he was a 65-70 catch running back on top of the touchdown equity he has, on top of the fact that it would make it a lot closer.
Would. Then the risk associated with McCaffrey would, it's all relative. The risk versus reward versus the rest of the field is all relative to each other. And to me, in my opinion, the reward for McCaffrey is so much greater that an increased risk is worth it. Not every single player will feel that way. I know it feels better. It obviously feels safer to draft Jonathan Taylor. Like, I'm not arguing that in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
My whole point is, if you get McCaffrey and he stays healthy, what percentage of McCaffrey teams will make the playoffs if he stays healthy? 40?
I mean, yeah, unless you just completely
35.
Unless you just completely destroy the rest of your draft. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And the other thing with McCaffrey is, okay, yes, he's missed 10 games over the last two seasons. And I know you're not going to find Christian McCaffrey type production off the waiver wire or trades, what have you. But like, it's not like you draft McCaffrey in the first round and say he misses games. It's not like you get a zero at running back. You're still filling that roster spot. Yes, it's obviously harder to replace, but like, I think there's this like notion that like, oh, McCaffrey's not in my lineup, so I get a zero at running back. Like, that's not how it works. Like, you still play a running back.
You could draft Deontay Foreman. I mean,
right. Or, like I said, say you're really, really, really worried about drafting McCaffrey in the first round. Go draft a running back in the second and the third. You know, like, you can still do that. And you can still feel comfortable, especially in a two receiver league. You know, the receiver position is deep. Like, we talk about, like, Brandon Cooks goes to, like, wide receiver 25. Other receivers go really late. Like, there's a lot of potential breakout receivers to where, okay, I passed on receiver early, but I've assured that in case McCaffrey does miss time, okay, I still drafted whoever in the second and third round, Aaron Jones and, Leonard Fournette or something like that. Like, you can still do that. There's still ways to feel better about drafting McCaffrey in the first round. Again, you and I have zero issues because, like, it's just like, okay, yes, he's been injured. Yes, it happens. The NFL, especially at the running back position, that's going to happen. But for me, like, the question, it's more like for us, I feel like it's the glasses half full. It's like, what if he doesn't miss time? And then a lot of other people are, okay, what if he does? I'm more of like, do you guys understand what if he doesn't miss any time? What he's going to do?
That's my point.
Yeah, so McCaffrey, again, there's been some drafts in underdog where I have drafted Justin Jefferson second overall just because, A, I love Jefferson. B, over an underdog, you kind of want to differentiate a lot too. But in a traditional 12-team redraft league, like, yeah, McCaffrey, he will not slide past two if I can help it. But there have been some drafts where he's gone third or fourth, and that's just ridiculous as well, in my opinion. So Christian McCaffrey, elite. We know the production when he's healthy. The offense is still pretty much the same. Yesley might have a new quarterback, depending on if Baker Mayfield wins that job. But let's get right to that, because that's interesting too. Right now, it's looking like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are competing for the starting job after Carolina traded for Baker Mayfield a couple weeks ago. I look at Baker Mayfield's stats from last year, and I kind of throw them out the window because he played through so many injuries last year. He had a partially torn labrum that he played through, dislocated his shoulder a couple weeks later, had a foot injury. Like, it was bad for him, and he just played through it. So those numbers from 2021, not impressive. But in 2020, he was pretty good. And the thing with me, it's just like, there was a lot of, like, tweets and stuff when the trade happened, like, oh, is it really an upgrade over Sam Darnold? And I'm sitting there like,
heck yeah, it is.
Has anybody watched Sam Darnold play? He takes awful drive-killing sacks. He turns the ball over. His touchdown rate over the course of his career, it's ridiculously low. It's like 3.3%. Yeah, 3.3% career touchdown rate for Sam Darnold. Baker's is 4.8%. So what does this move do for you for the entire offense? What does it do for Baker as well as a two-quarterback super flex candidate? Because I mean, a healthy Carolina offense still has plenty of pass catchers, right? McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. Hopefully something happens from Terrace Marshall in year two. For me, like I was already pretty much all in on DJ Moore, but with that career touchdown rate from Baker Mayfield being a lot higher than Sam Darnold, and the fact that he could just sustain more drives, right? In 2021, Carolina averaged the third fewest yards, eighth fewest plays per drive, and only Jacksonville, Detroit, the Giants, and Texans averaged fewer red zone scoring trips per game than the Carolina Panthers.
Those are great stats. It was bad. And don't forget the Panthers also didn't have McCaffrey last year for, you know, much of the year. So
yeah,
that didn't help.
Baker, you mean, and Matt Rhule, by the way, they lost McCaffrey.
If McCaffrey's going to be bad, he's the reason why.
No, he's going to be fine. But I'm saying they lost McCaffrey last season, and Matt Rhule's, his solution was to run a rookie running back in Chuba Hubbard up between the tackles 20 times a game. They went so run heavy without McCaffrey. It was mind boggling behind an awful offensive line with a rookie running back in Chuba Hubbard, who was, again, he was a rookie in a bad situation, but he was like the least efficient running back in the NFL last season. It was really bad last season. They have a new offense coordinator now with Ben McAdoo, who's going to install that West Coast offense, which I actually think will be good for McCaffrey. But yeah, like Baker Mayfield, what are your thoughts?
So I think that adding Mayfield was a definite upgrade for every player on the Panthers. Sam Darnold was not it in New York with the Jets. He seemed for like the first 2 weeks like maybe he could be a relevant fantasy quarterback because he was running a whole bunch.
He was the quarterback like five because he had five rushing touchdowns. It was the most insane start to a season I've ever seen.
But then, you know, true Sam Darnold kicked in, and Mayfield, is he Justin Herbert? No. And is he capable of being Justin Herbert? No. But I think he's capable of being Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I think Baker Mayfield can still be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, whereas there's a lot of people that think he's like legitimately dust. And I'm sitting here like
he was good in 2020. Between. Yeah.
He was good in 2020. Last year, like I said, he had insane injuries. Like I can't evaluate his play when he has a partially torn labrum and shoulder injuries as a quarterback.
I know. I don't think he's in the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz tier. I think he's
behind Cousins and Carr.
He is. He's behind Cousins and Carr for sure. In terms of fantasy production, I don't really have a problem drafting him as like my very, very late second quarterback. If I'm playing in Superflex or 2QB, I do try to get two of the top 15 quarterbacks. I really don't like playing with the guys that, you know, go after 20th, but there is obviously potential big gains from those players because they don't spend very much. So for example, in the Scott Fishbowl, I did draft Mayfield as my third quarterback, but not my second. So just for some context of kind of how I feel about it, I think Mayfield, for some reason I'm looking, Mayfield's not showing up in my rankings. I have to fix that. But I believe I have Mayfield at like QB 25.
Okay, so I'm higher on him than you. I have him like 17, 18, but I also have to make some adjustments. Like, I think I'm going to move Daniel Jones over him, so I'm sure you're thrilled to hear that.
Good luck, dude.
But yeah, he's in that like 18. He's going to be in that like 18 to 22 range for me. Yeah,
like a low-end fantasy QB2, and yeah. I think that's fair. I also think that the Panthers have good receiving options, but not a lot of depth. Like DJ Moore is amazing. Christian McCaffrey is amazing. Robbie Anderson, I think, is better than he showed last year. I think he'll still probably be an okay deep threat. But then after that, you're talking about like Terrace Marshall, who might or might not be good. He also might just not, he might be bad. Who's their number one tight end? Tommy Tremble.
Yeah.
Like it's the lack of depth is concerning in Carolina for sure. And I think that is what largely holds me back from being more interested in Mayfield. But I also agree with you that last year's stats from him, you can mostly throw them out.
Yeah.
I mean, his wide receivers last year, he was throwing to like Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Right. He had Jarvis, obviously.
They ran three tight end sets like all the time.
Yep. With Ben McAdoo, I think the pace probably increases for Carolina too. Ben McAdoo, when he was with the Giants from 2014 to 2017, the Giants were 10th, 2nd, 4th, and 2nd in average seconds per play. So that's good for the offense. Like the real question is, what does this do for DJ Moore, if anything? Because DJ Moore, like, the volume was elite. I talk about this all the time. You look at DJ Moore and his numbers last season. Among a lot of the elite receivers, DJ Moore was right there in terms of volume. Mm-hmm. 35% of the first read targets from this offense went to DJ Moore. It was tied with Davante Adams and Justin Jefferson for the highest rate in the NFL. He had the fifth most overall first read targets in the NFL. Like, everything was great except for the touchdowns, which has been the case for DJ Moore. He hasn't surpassed four in a season. But again, like I mentioned, sustaining more drives, getting more red zone trips, and Baker Mayfield having a substantially higher touchdown rate for his career than Sam Darnold. Is this a move where it's like DJ Moore is pretty comfortable in like that 12 to 15 range for most people? Is this a move that could push him up to like where he hasn't been inside the top 10? We saw Jarvis Landry, I think it was in 2019. He was the wide receiver 8 with Baker Mayfield. That was with Odell Beckham also having 1,000 yards during that season, I think. I think it was 2019. But like, there's no reason. We've seen this and we've talked about this for years. If DJ Moore can get to 6-7 touchdowns, given his receptions and his yards, he's been top 10 in yards every season over the last three. He will be a top 10 receiver if the touchdowns go up by a couple.
I'm definitely interested in DJ Moore. I've been drafting a fair amount of DJ Moore. I think he, I mean, what's his stat line every single year? It's the same, 1,200 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, it's like 90 receptions, 1,200 and four.
The touchdowns have to come up, right? Like, I guess they don't have to, but.
Yeah, the thing with DJ Moore, too, is last year, like, he's always been elite in terms of percentage of teams' end zone targets. It's just that there's not a lot of end zone targets on this team. But, like, when they throw in the end zone, it's been to DJ Moore. So if they're getting more end zone trips and they're getting more red zone drives, that's great for DJ Moore. Obviously, we'll see how. Is the volume going to be quite the same with McCaffrey? Hopefully back. I don't think so.
Probably,
but like,
not.
I don't think he'll be out to the top 10. Like, it's still an offense that features McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and his targets were still good in the games before McCaffrey was hurt last season. Like, I thought I had it written down somewhere, but like, he's still averaging like 8 or 9 targets per game when McCaffrey was healthy last season. So I'm not worried about him falling off a cliff in that department.
So Moore scored 4 touchdowns last year, but his expected touchdown, this is from the expected fantasy points tool at FTN, he was expected to score 6 touchdowns. So he scored, you know, 50% fewer touchdowns than he was expected to. I think, I mean, just for comparison, that would have ended up putting him with like the same yardage and same touchdowns as CeeDee Lamb, but more receptions. I mean, DJ Moore is the only player that saw as many targets as he did without catching over 100 balls. I know he still caught 92 passes, which is still really good. But like, the players ahead of him in targets are right around him in targets. Deontay Johnson, 107. Jefferson, 108. Stephon Diggs, 103. Tyreek Hill, 101. Keenan Allen, 106. And then DJ Moore at 93. So there's somewhere between like 10 to 20 receptions left on the board at that type of volume. So I guess the question is, if the efficiency increases, right? Like, you've got a better quarterback, maybe a better offensive scheme, but the volume decreases, I think we probably still see DJ Moore close to 90 receptions. I think it's too much to project him for more with like we said, with McCaffrey back, the targets probably won't be there as much. I think the 1,200 yards is still probably a pretty reasonable expectation. So what you're hoping for with Moore is you're banking on that positive touchdown regression. I don't think he's a guy that's going to score 10 touchdowns, though. I think like six to eight is probably like
literally what I have written down. I put Moore has yet to eclipse 4 touchdowns in a season, but if he can reach the 6 to 8 mark, a top 12 finish is extremely likely.
Yeah,
like
it is.
If he gets 6 to 8, he will be a top 10 receiver without question.
I 100% agree, and I think it's reasonable to expect that. Like we said, his expected touchdowns last year were 6. So that puts 8 on the on the other side. Like if he's really good with those targets, then he could push for 8. So I like drafting Moore. I don't think he has top 5 upside.
Same. But as much as I love him, he won't. Yeah, like there's just too many other receivers that can score 12 to 15 touchdowns on top of all the receptions
and push close to like 1,500 yards. I don't think Moore quite gets there. But
yeah,
I think like 90, 1,206 is a reasonable Moore expectation. And if he scores that, then yeah, he'll be a top 12 wide receiver. So I like drafting Moore. I also think he's safe. Like, I don't think he has a very low floor.
Yeah, a lot of his games last season were like 80 yards, 80 to 90 yards, and more often than not, obviously he didn't score, but like add a couple more touchdowns. I think he's still going to be in that set. I think he's going to get like 75 receiving yards more often than not in most of these games. So
would you rather draft DJ Moore or Deontay Johnson?
DJ Moore.
Yeah, same.
I have DJ Moore pretty comfortably ahead of Deontay Johnson. I guess we'll talk about that when we get to the Steelers. Let's go to the...
There's not much else.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson just had one of the least efficient receiver seasons I've ever seen. I mean, 110 targets turned into 53 catches for 519 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was a wide receiver 49 in fantasy. Third worst in terms of yards per out run in the entire league. He was like DJ Moore was like bottom 20 in terms of percentage of targets that were deemed catchable. But Robbie Anderson was like, he had awful luck last season. 68% of the passes thrown Robbie Anderson's way were deemed catchable, according to FTN. Third lowest rate among all receivers with at least 70 targets. He was also last in the NFL in yards per target at 4.7. Like, it was just an absolutely awful season from Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, he's going late now. He's the clear number two receiver. Is there any appeal to Robbie Anderson as a potential bounce back candidate? Like, I'm fine with it where he's going. He's going to be on the field a ton. He still got 110 targets last season. He could get around that again this season if the Panthers... the problem is, like, the Panthers' defense is still pretty good. That was such a bad season. Like, oh, my goodness.
It was really, really, really bad. I have drafted Robbie Anderson, like, I could probably count on one hand. And I'm just taking those shots in best ball where, you know, I hope he catches a 75-yard touchdown once or twice this year. My concern, I think a big problem with him last year, we think of Robbie Anderson as like this big deep threat. He only had 7 deep targets last year, which is not a lot. Am I happy drafting Robbie Anderson? No. Am I going to do it a lot? No. Will I take a few shots just to like have him in case he bounces back? Yeah. Because don't forget, last year, I don't remember exactly where it was, but I'm pretty sure he was being drafted as like a fantasy wide receiver 2/3.
Yeah, he was going in the middle rounds for sure, like 6th, 7th round, if I can recall correctly. I loved Anderson coming into last season. I really did. Yeah. Like, I loved him and DJ Moore. Like, oh man, this... I won't forget it. It was this time last season. All my underdog late best ball stacks were Darnold, Moore, and Robbie. And it looked good to start the season. Obviously, it helped when Sam Darnold scoring all these rushing touchdowns. But like, DJ Moore was awesome. Darnold was good in fantasy. And Anderson was getting a ton of targets. I was like, all right, this might work out. And it didn't.
I do think, I mean, Anderson tweeted at some point like a month or two ago, he's like, I'm thinking about retiring, which is a little concerning. Like, maybe his head's just not in it, just heart's not in it anymore, which, you know, I would understand. I'm not drafting a lot of Anderson, but I do think he's basically free. I don't know exactly where you can draft him, but if you want to draft Robbie Anderson, nothing is holding you back from it.
Yeah, I think he's going around like wide receiver 60, so.
Yeah. I'm fine taking a few shots on it, but I'm not going to be overweight on Anderson.
Any thoughts on Terrace Marshall or Tommy Tremble before? I do want to talk about Dante Foreman and the backups in Carolina for sure. But like, Tommy Tremble was playing alongside Ian Thomas last season. Like, it's just the tight end position is way too deep. And like, again, I can't stop making this point, but every time we do a team preview, we have to talk about certain tight ends that aren't really fantasy relevant. And like, Tommy Tremble has zero path to being second on his team in targets. And that's what I look for late round tight ends. Like, third round pick in 2021, so the draft capital solid. The playing time increased a little bit after the team, because remember they had Dan Arnold last season to start the season. He actually got a lot of downfield work. But again, like, we've seen Baker Mayfield rely on the tight end position a lot, but also that was scheme dependent because they were running three and two tight end sets more than any team in the NFL. So I'm trying to make a case for Tommy Tremble. I really am. But at the end of the day, again, zero path to being second on his team in targets. I tweeted yesterday, but just draft Brevin Jordan. Just do it.
You love Brevin Jordan.
That is my ultimate sleeper for the 2022 season. And when it hits, I will be victory lapping quite often. But yeah, thoughts on Tremble and thoughts. Terrace Marshall was so hyped this time last season.
Super hyped.
Because really talented player.
Had a good preseason game.
Yeah. Can play in the slot. And he was, at the time, they had, you know, Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator, who obviously was with at LSU. It was like, it made a ton of sense. And he just didn't get on the field.
I'm not drafting either of them, just to be completely transparent. And I would just hold on to them in Dynasty, but I don't see redraft value this year. Marshall, maybe, like, if Robbie Anderson is truly completely dust, and Marshall, I think there were some good reports of him out of OTAs, maybe he can become the number two on the team. But if Anderson's still there, I'm not saying Anderson's going to see 100 targets again, but if it goes DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall, what does he see? Like 40 targets, maybe? I don't know. I think
his ceiling is like 70. And that's his absolute ceiling.
I'm gonna look at Jeff's projections for him real quick.
Yeah.
Giving a little sneak peek behind the FTN Fantasy Football Platinum package. So Jeff has Marshall only projected for 33 targets.
Sheesh.
Which is rough.
He had 30 last season and he barely played.
So we'll see. I mean, is there break if there's
so,
one?
So I don't want to give everything away, but who does he have projected? I guess it would be fourth, right? I'm assuming it's McCaffrey, Moore, Anderson is 1, 2, 3. So is Marshall fourth?
I mean, look.
With 30?
Let me look.
They also, Carolina. You know who it might be?
Oh, yeah. I know who you're about to say, and you're right.
Is it Hollywood Higgins?
It is.
It actually might be a thing because
might be.
So, yeah, it's in projected ahead of, that's, man.
It could be him. I mean, Higgins isn't bad.
No.
He's really not. And he's still only 27, so the Hollywood Higgins. I love that. I actually haven't given that a lot of thought, but maybe there is something there with the old teammate connection. And we were just talking about the lack of depth. Higgins is not a bad like depth player.
It's very interesting.
To take a couple Higgins shots. Nobody to be excited about, but I could see him catching like 40 balls.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what, because Carolina went three wide like 66% of the time last season, so they did it at a pretty high rate. So if they do that again this year, again, they have a different offensive coordinator with Ben McAdoo. But like, if they're running three wide sets, like, they want to play Marshall in the slot, like 100%. So can he stay atop the depth chart, or not atop the depth chart, but can he stay in that third spot at receiver on the depth chart? That'll be something to keep an eye on maybe in the preseason and as training camp continues. Let's close it out with Deonta Foreman, who the team signed this offseason, who was pretty productive as filling in for Derrick Henry alongside Dontrell Hilliard last season in Tennessee. And we kind of overlook it, but Foreman, I mean, he hasn't obviously been elite or anything like that, but like coming off the Achilles injury he had a couple years ago, he's been pretty productive in a more of a limited role. But last season, he was pretty good, and I think he's pretty comfortably the number two over Chuba Hubbard. I just think he's a lot better. And you look at Foreman from weeks 14 to 18 last season, he was the RB11 fantasy. He averaged 19.2 touches per game. Obviously, he's not going to see that work unless anything happens to McCaffrey. But again, I just think he's better than Chuba Hubbard. And if there's all this concern about McCaffrey missing all this time, then yeah, Deonta Foreman, I don't think he's in the, you know, he's obviously not in the elite tier in terms of backups and running backs and standalone value, but like he's probably in the right after like the Khalil Herbert range, maybe. So
yeah,
I think there's appeal there.
I'm drafting a fair amount of Foreman in the final round. Like you can get him in the 18th round of best ball drafts. I think Foreman, if you take McCaffrey in like a standard redraft league, I think Foreman makes a ton of sense as a handcuff. I really am not a handcuff advocate at all. Like I think it's a losing strategy overall.
It also is dependent on where you're drafting. Like drafting AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones is tough because they're both going in the top six rounds. But like McCaffrey goes top five overall, but then Foreman, if he goes to the last round of your draft, that's totally different.
Right, exactly. So I do like Foreman. I don't even think Hubbard is a thing. Like if McCaffrey goes down, I think it just becomes Foreman with a little bit of Hubbard. And I think while McCaffrey is healthy, hopefully, which is the whole season, I do think Foreman might see like 3 to 4 carries a game. I think he'll come in and he'll spell McCaffrey on a couple early downs here and there. Like I said, I don't expect McCaffrey to see 300 rushing attempts. I think he'll be closer to 225. But the Panthers will, they're still going to run the ball more. So, you know, when it's not McCaffrey, I do think it'll be Foreman. I think he could end up rushing for close to 100 rushing attempts, which is not a lot, but like it's, I don't think it's enough to have standalone value, I'll say.
But yeah, he will have zero.
He will have zero standalone value, but I do think his upside, if McCaffrey gets hurt, is significant.
Yeah, and they upgraded the offensive line a little bit in Carolina. So, yeah, I totally agree. Like, he is, again, I haven't seen reports on the backups because everything's pretty much surrounding McCaffrey in the offseason for Carolina. But, like, I would expect him to be the number two running back in Carolina this season, especially because, like, they went out and signed him, you know? Like,
yeah, I totally agree.
I guess one last question we didn't ask. Does Matt Corral start any games this season? Probably not now after the Baker addition.
No, I don't think so.
Just forgot he was on the team, honestly.
I think the Panthers did too.
But that'll do it for Carolina. Pretty interesting team. I really hope we get 6, 7, 8 touchdowns from DJ Moore because he's going to be a top 10 receiver if that happens. And of course, you know, football and fantasy football is better when Christian McCaffrey's on the field. So if he stays healthy, like, I agree, he's going to have 220 carries or so, probably 85, 90 receptions, and well over 300 fantasy points. So if you are on the fence about selecting Christian McCaffrey in the first, you know, 2, 3 selections, just talk to Tyler. He will make sure that you feel more comfortable about it because the case has clearly been made. Tyler, anything we need to plug? I mean, plenty of things we can plug at FTN Fantasy, especially with the season starting. There's a lot going on. It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple of draft strategy pieces this week. I will be releasing draft strategy pieces around different types of leagues. So if you play in a super flex league, I'll have something for you. Tight end premium league, auction draft league. And then we have rankings being updated constantly. Jeff Radcliffe just released a free dynasty rankings. You can go check that out, that article. I think those are kind of my big things going on. And then we also have free tiers. Also from Jeff Radcliffe, he's published his fantasy football tiers. You can get that. You can get the top 100 there for free. So pretty amazing stuff that you can actually go get right now for free. And obviously during the season, we will have a lot more content for you. And I believe we still have a deal going on before the season starts where you can get in at a reduced price. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, I love doing the offseason content. I'll continue to do this coaching and coordinator series and as well as some other things, but I am also extremely excited to start watching football and start doing some in-season articles and all that great stuff. And yeah, Thursday we have football, so I'm excited to watch. You know, it doesn't matter who's playing. We will have football on Thursday, the Hall of Fame game, so it is exciting. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. Definitely helps us out. We'll be back later on this week to continue our team previews as we got to get going. Season starts soon. Keep looking at the calendar and I keep realizing yesterday I was like, is today the first day of August? And sure enough, it was. So we have pretty much, we're in the home stretch. It's exciting times. Make sure you're part of it over at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. Thanks for listening. As always, we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN Datacast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at @APfeiffer24 and @LochnerNFL.